Good morning, I'm Mike Horace with your WCMU Morning News Roundup for Friday, May 29th. The number of COVID-19 infections in Michigan continues to drop. Speaking at a news conference yesterday afternoon, the state's chief medical executive, Dr. Jonae Khaldun, says there is cause for optimism, but not necessarily celebration.
If positive trends continue, we will be able to continue moving forward with the next phases of the My Safe Start plan. But I want to caution people, moving forward with reopening the economy does not mean that the risk of the disease has gone away.
Khaldun says it's important for people to wear masks in public and maintain social distancing guidelines. The current stay-at-home order is set to expire on June 12th. A Michigan Court of Appeals panel says an Owosso barber has to shut down under Governor Gretchen Whitmer's COVID-19 orders. We have more from Rick Pluta.
The decision is in response to a Shiawassee County judge's refusal to issue a cease and desist order instructing Carl Mankey to close his shop and stop cutting hair. The appeals court says the judge cannot second guess whether emergency instructions from Governor Whitmer and the state's top health officials make sense, just whether they're legal. Whitmer's orders include a shutdown of barbers and hair salons to help slow the spread of the novel coronavirus. That prompted a May 20th protest where hairstylists and barbers illegally gave haircuts in front of the state capitol. The Associated Press reports that Mankey says he has no plans to close. The state has also pulled Mankey's barber's license. I'm Rick Pluta.
More than 20% of COVID-19-related deaths in Michigan are from people in nursing homes or congregate care facilities. And the state's chief medical executive says that's likely an undercount. Governor Gretchen Whitmer says the current policy of isolating COVID patients from non-COVID patients in the same facility is a compromise.
Clearly, COVID patients being discharged from a hospital, we wanted to make sure that they had a place to go. And so as we have tried to address this so that we kept people safe, but also give them a place to return to, we've had to strike a balance here.
More than 4,000 cases have been linked to nursing homes statewide. According to the State Department of Health and Human Services, not all nursing homes have provided data to the state. Michigan health officials say now is the time for residents to schedule appointments for vaccinations. Immunizations have fallen during the coronavirus outbreak, and officials worry the state is now vulnerable to a different kind of outbreak. Bob Swanson is with the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services. He says just last year, the state saw a large measles outbreak.
And if something like that was introduced into Michigan right now, I think we would have the potential with more susceptibles for it to spread much quicker. So we're worried about that.
Year over year, Swanson says there has been a 21% decline in the number of vaccines that have been administered in April among residents 18 and younger. As things open back up, he says residents should make sure that they get vaccinated. Federal regulators are disagreeing with Boyce Hydro over the status of some of its dams in the aftermath of the collapse of the Edenville Dam that flooded Midland, Gladwin, and Saginaw counties. Ben Thorpe reports.
Boyce Hydro owns and operates several dams in the region, including Smallwood, Secord, Sanford, and the collapsed Edenville Dam. According to a letter from the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, Boyce Hydro claimed that Secord and Sanford dams sustained no consequential damage. In their written response, federal regulators disagreed. You clearly meant to say Secord and Smallwood, as Sanford is breached. And, regulators continued, we do not agree that Smallwood maintained no consequential damage. According to the letter, more inspections are needed before operations at the dams can continue as normal. Boyce Hydro did not respond to our request for comment. I'm Ben Thorpe, WCMU News.
The Midland County Courthouse reopened for staff only yesterday after last week's floodwaters damaged elevators, electric service, and air handling systems. County Facilities Manager Kevin Beeson says the dirt berm behind the building didn't stand a chance against the water.
Had the dam not broken, we might have made it. And it just the water was rushing through that parking lot under the new M20 bridge and between the force of the water and the height of the water. Just an earthen berm wasn't going to be enough to hold it.
Beeson says no official records or court documents were lost, but the damaged elevators restrict public access to the probate or circuit court levels. Temporary courtrooms will be set up in the Midland United Way building in approximately 30 days. In the meantime, court sessions will be conducted over Zoom or adjourned to a later date. Oscoda residents are raising concerns about the way the state notified them about new Do Not Eat advisories at a local marsh. Chemicals from the former Wurtsmith Air Force Base have drained into the marsh, causing the state to issue Do Not Eat advisories for fish and deer in 2012 and 2018, respectively. A 2019 memo updating the advisories to include all aquatic and semi-aquatic wildlife is now attracting some attention. Area residents say the state hasn't done enough to publicize the new information. Scott Dean is with the Michigan Department of Environment, Great Lakes, and Energy, which oversees the issuing of advisories. He says the state published the memo on the local health website and updated signs around the marsh.
The facts say something different. Michigan's a leader in this. Michigan is working harder than any state in the union to protect people from unexpected consumption issues from hunting and fishing.
For previous health advisories around the marsh, the state had issued press releases. In this instance, Dean says the state had no reason to believe that residents were eating muskrats or turtles out of the marsh. State Senator Winnie Brinks is co-sponsoring a bill requiring all Michigan police officers to complete violence training. We have more on that from Michelle Jokish-Polo.
This week, Michigan State Senators Democrats Jeff Irwin and Winnie Brinks co-sponsored a bill to amend the Michigan Commission on Law Enforcement Act. The bill would require training of all law enforcement across the state on violence de-escalation, implicit bias, and mental health screening.
The thinking is that if we want to see real change in how law enforcement works and how they look at different situations, that we should start from the very beginning. So that's why the bill deals with that training that every law enforcement officer is required to have at the beginning of their career.
That's Senator Brinks. She says this bill is an example of a direct response we can take as a community to address police violence against Black people. Since 2015, more than 77 people have been fatally shot by police officers in the state of Michigan, and nearly 50% of them have been people of color, according to data compiled by the Washington Post.
There's a real tragic lack of voices out there that are contributing to real solutions, and clearly a lot of pain and frustration. So I wanted to talk about some actions that we can take and not just be sad and not just be outraged, but to have things that we can do that are concrete that we know will help.
Senator Brink's bill comes on the same day residents of Washtenaw County block streets in Ypsilanti Township in protest after a county deputy punched a Black woman during an arrest on Tuesday. I'm Michelle Jokish-Polo.
And that is your WCMU Morning News Roundup for this Friday, the 29th day of May 2020. I'm Mike Horace. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk again on Monday.